Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Dave Farrell. Dave is the owner of Farrell Family Farm. And where is your farm, Dave?
First, I want to thank you for inviting me to be on today. Our farm is located pretty much near the corner of West End Road and Hatchery Road, just a short distance from the town of Blue Lake.
That's a beautiful sunny spot.
It's perfect. Yeah. I mean, you know, as much as I enjoy the sun, degrees in the 95 to 100 degrees like they have in Willow Creek in July, August, September are not for me. So, yeah, we get the cooling of the coast, but we're in that sun belt.
And how large is your farm?
The place that we own is just an acre and a quarter, which is a really small micro-scale farm. But I've managed to work out leases with several other places, and so I'm managing about 5 acres.
Oh, okay. And when did you come to Humboldt in the first place?
I came to Humboldt County in 1998 to pursue my master's degree. And, once I accomplished that, my partner and I decided we wanted to find a farm. So we looked for one for about a year, and then we landed in the place that we're at now.
Uh-huh. And how did you find this place?
That's sort of a long story, but I'll try and make it short. In 1996... I was laying on the floor looking at a gazetteer, you know, those maps of California that have the topographic relief. And I put my finger on this spot called Granite Peak. And I said, "What's Blue Lake?" And this guy in the room said, "Oh, Blue Lake's the kind. That's the place you want to be." Well, years went by. And a couple of years went by. I got into the master's program and finished my master's in 2000, bought the farm, and started looking at the map of where we were at, and right behind my house is Granite Peak. It's like we were destined to be there, and what we were looking for was a place where we could have our own water, we could set up a photovoltaic system for our energy.
Now, you have children, too. How do they work out on the farm? Do they have chores that they do to keep things going? You're smiling.
Yeah, you know, it's great. My brilliant wife a long time ago said, we should give the kids allowance. And I'm all, no, I never got allowance. They shouldn't get allowance. And she said, yeah, but think of it this way. When they want something at the store and they want to buy it, you just look at them and say, okay, buy it. And so now we don't have a bunch of plastic toys laying around the place. And what they do is they get paid the amount that was just signed for the minimum wage, $15 an hour. And they work for us. They do their chores. There are certain chores that they're required to do. But then there's also things that we say, well, you can mow or you can go out and weed or you can help, mulch or whatever. And they get the choice. So they go out and do it. And then they get paid. So, my daughter's just been able to finance her trip to Spain this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
So how old are your children?
I have a son that's going on 12 and a daughter that's going on 16 in July. Both of them in July.
Okay. And they have chores to do on the farm.
Oh, yeah.
Permaculture is the type of farming that you do. Can you tell a little bit about what makes that different from conventional farming?
There are versions of permaculture. I originally interned at a place called Ocean Song down in Sonoma County, West Sonoma County, and we were right down the road from the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, which is a really great example of a permaculture setting. It's an 86-acre farm with a whole setup. And the way permaculture, for me, the easiest way to define it is you use your farm as an energy trap. So that energy includes sun, water can be energy, and money can be energy and fertilizer and those things. So you want to try and trap as much energy as you can and then make your systems as designed as easy as possible to maintain. So those things in what's called zone one, which is right around your house, are those things that you maintain the most often. So for example, you might put strawberries close to your house or kitchen herbs because those require daily maintenance, whereas apple trees would go out towards maybe zone three or zone four. That's the area away from the house that requires less maintenance and less time. So that's sort of the setup. And I say it's a version of permaculture because I'm always working on how do I make it more permaculture.
Do you raise chickens on your property?
We do. We used to have turkeys and chickens, and recently we've cut that back. I think now we have 4 chickens, and we're just moving them around in what's called a chicken tractor.
So they get fresh pasture, grass, insects, and things like that. Is there feed that you have to bring in
to feed the chickens as well? Sure, yeah, we augment with some grain. But they, I mean, when you look at the yolks this time of year, the egg, you know, it has the yellow part, but then the albumin, the white part, is supposed to be kind of clear. It's green. And you almost think you got a bad egg because there's so much grass in their diet.
Like green eggs and ham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The first time I saw that was a few years ago when we first started doing this, and I was like, whoa, that's gross. But it's very rich in what beta carotene and all sorts of good.
So when you cook it, does it turn white?
Yeah, eventually I think it starts to maybe oxidize as it heats up, and so you know, the protein turns white.
Now, one of the things I know you for is on the plaza when the farmer's market's happening, you guys are making juice.
Yeah, you know, with such a small farm, we had to look to crops that brought in a high amount. So we specialize in wheatgrass, which is, you know, make a pretty good amount on that, and then salad greens. But the juice kind of dawned on me. I was sitting there maybe making like $50 on a Saturday selling apples, you know, and I had a lot of apples that didn't look so great. And I was like, well, they're really good. You know, you can make, you know, all kinds of things out of them, and juice was one of them. So we tried doing that. First off, the health department didn't want us to do it because of, I think back in the 90s, there was a girl who died from an E. coli infection from raw juice, and it was an Odwalla thing. And so they didn't believe that I should do it. I had to check in with the state, the FDA, and they said, yeah, you can do it. It's legal. So I sent that information to the local health officials, and they let us do it. And so now that value-added product has increased our sales quite a bit.
Value-added is something that's really important. Is how can you get as much out of the item as you can possibly get? And like you said, with some of those like ugly apples, just being able to sell them to people makes it difficult.
Right. And we've been able to take those and, you know, so other farmers are one of that, too. They're making apple butters or dried apples and things like that. So creating niches where you look around and see, like when I got into wheatgrass, I noticed that the wheatgrass at the co-op was coming from Aptos near Santa Cruz. And that's like a 300-mile trip. And you know, other accounts in the area were taking that wheatgrass. They cut it, make juice out of it. And then there's a tray with soil in it. They would throw the tray and the soil in the dumpster. And I started talking to the co-op, and within a year, we had that first account, and then it grew from there to now we have almost every account in the county.
Wow. And what are the health benefits of drinking wheatgrass?
I would have never really gotten into that because I kind of grew up with a Midwestern grandmother raising me, and so everything was like beef and potatoes and, you know, really bad green beans that had been overcooked. One winter, I got really sick. I went to the doctor and they said, oh, you have asthma. And I said, I don't have asthma. So I started looking into how the body functions and nutrients and health. And I realized, oh, I could try changing my diet from pizza and beer to other healthy things like, you know, vegetables that weren't overcooked and that. So I looked into wheatgrass and it's supposed to cleanse the system. And within a year, those symptoms of asthma went away. And so it wasn't something that happened overnight. It's something like gently getting more and more wind in your sails. You feel better and better and better. And that's how I got into it. And then I saw that the co-op was getting it from Aptos. And then, you know, that other part of the story.
Yeah. And I was thinking, too, you know, when you're shipping wheatgrass all the way up here, you know, it's just not as fresh.
Well, you know, the thing is, it is growing, but what I noticed is it can look anemic, like it, because they have to ship it in a box. So for 3 days it sits in a truck, or 2 days it sits in a truck, and it's in a box and it's not getting light. And oftentimes other producers produce in warehouses under lights. So ours is produced in the Humboldt sun, just in a hoop house, you know, with no climate control. So it's really hardy. In fact, it's a little bit stiffer than the wheatgrass that's grown in these warehouses. And we've broken a few juice machines at some of our accounts because of that.
Tough juice.
It's tough juice. Yeah.
Well, this is great. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Dave Farrell from Farrell Family Farms. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Jennifer.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer and producer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.